I have been enjoying these messages by Gary. Man, oh man. Absolutely powerful. And he and I talked about this, how that these things that he's been sharing about the kingdom, the dimensions and so forth, that they are things that God has dealt with me about over, here and there, bits and pieces over the years. He mentioned about a sermon I have entitled "A Genesis 1 Life and a Genesis 3 World." And that was a real eye-opener. I had another sermon. I forget the title of this one, but it had to do with kingdom law, principles of the kingdom. As Christians, we have a very difficult time relating to this. In part because we are so influenced by this natural three-dimensional world. You know, Gary was sharing about how that science has proven that there are several different types of dimensions, but I'm just going to be referring to the dimensions with which we are the most familiar, which is, you know, length and width and height, depth, those three dimensions. Well, you know, Gary was sharing with us how that if you live in Lineland, all you know is forward and backward. That's it. You do not know right, left, going out to the sides, or going up or beneath. All you know is forward and backward, and you're happy because that's all you know. I mean, think about this. You know, sometimes my imagination just has fun. And I, you know, here I am. I have hands and arms and fingers, and it's like, how horrible it would be to be a fish. I mean, no hands, no arms, no feet, no toes. Just, you know, a couple of fins and, you know, that's all you do all day long. Hope you don't swallow a worm that's got a hook on the end of it. But to the fish, life is great. Just, what else is there? Just swim around in the water. Look for, you know, fellow fish. Have fun. So everybody exists how they are, and that's what they know. That's what they're accustomed to. So line lander people, all they know is forward and backward. That's it. That's the sum total of their life. And if they encounter anything that is not a part of Lineland, they tilt. Their brain stops working. And you know, if there's an obstacle in the way, they don't know what to do. It's like, well, life is over. I can turn around and go back, but this thing is still here. Well, then somebody from Flatland. Flatland has, you know, forward and backward and side to side. Those two dimensions. Well, somebody from Flatland is observing this and thinking, you know, you silly person, don't you understand? Well, no, they don't understand. They don't. And so Flatlander person comes along and says, here, let me show you how it's done. And so Flatlander person takes Linelander person and brings them around, and all of a sudden Linelander is thinking, oh, a miracle, oh, and revival breaks out in Linelander church. Glory, did you see that? But Flatlander is thinking, what is the big deal? I mean, it's just how you live. Well, then, Flatlander person, one day, you know, comes upon, and you know, Gary put the hula hoop out here, and Flatlander person is trying to figure out, but I want to be there, but I can't get there. How do I get there? And around and around and around, and then, you know, 3D person, earth person, is watching this and thinking, you silly person. It's not that big of a deal. And so 3D person, earth person, comes and grabs Flatlander and picks him up and puts him down, and they are able to overcome the obstacle. And Flatlander person is so happy. And a revival breaks out in Flatlander church. And everybody's thinking, oh, miracle, oh, miracle. And earth person, 3D person is thinking, what is the big deal? This is just, it's normal. This is the way it is. Well, then earth person one day encounters something called cancer. An earth person thinks, oh, what do I do? Why, the doctor says, I have cancer. It won't go away. And the doctor says they can't do anything because it's wrapped around my spinal cord. And they can't operate. And they can't do radiation. And they can't, well, guess I'm going to die. But God, who lives in another dimension called kingdom, he looks down and he says, huh. And he looks at his son and he says, excuse me, son, but now correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't you die to make provision for that? Son says, yes, Father, I did. And the father says, yeah, I see the scars on your back, which is exactly what we put in the word, by your stripes, they were healed. We've got to do something about this. And so then this fella named Dave Roberson, he presses into God. He gets saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you remember the example. Here's the Holy Spirit. He followed along, partnered with Jesus. Well, now he's following along and partnering with Dave Roberson. And Dave Roberson, who is operating in Earth world, 3D world, and kingdom, ministers to earth person with cancer, but he does not minister to earth person with cancer from 3D world. He ministers to earth person with cancer from kingdom. And when that happens, kingdom law flows through Dave Roberson and touches earth person's body. And not only does it touch the body, that's not good enough. That kingdom law has to penetrate into earth person's body and touch the cancer. When it does, the cancer disappears. It's gone. And so it just happens that earth person is born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and attends a very good church that teaches such things. So, Pastor Dave prays for this person. And all of a sudden, the distended stomach is no longer distended. And that person literally feels the difference. And they know they don't have to go to the doctor. They know every physical symptom that they've been experiencing, no matter what it is, all of them instantly are gone. And they just know they're healed. They know they are healed. And so earth person begins shouting, I'm healed! I'm healed! And revival breaks out in earth person's church. Oh, wow! He's healed! This is incredible! Oh, oh, can you believe it? He's healed! And God is looking down and saying, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Why are you so excited because something happened that is supposed to happen? If you want to rejoice and praise over this person's healing, that's one thing. But when you act surprised that it happened, you have just, without your knowledge, demonstrated you are clueless about the kingdom. See this? And I have... Now again, it's okay to rejoice when people get healed. Do not misunderstand that. Let's be honest, guys. We've been in church services where people act like they just won the lottery. It's like, wow, did you see that? Did you see that? It happened. It really worked. What's supposed to? Sometimes we reveal our ignorance without meaning to. Anyway, now, as Gary's been ministering, it's like the Lord during this week has been saying, okay, yeah, and this, and this, and this. Have you ever gone to a pond or a lake, river, whatever, you pick up a flat stone and you skip it across and it just, you know, skips across the water, the surface of the water? Has anybody done that? But me, okay. So you kind of know what I'm talking about. You know, sometimes you ask questions of people to sit there and look at you. So what we're going to do today is skip a stone across the kingdom, hit some highlights, give you things to think and pray about. Because this, what we're learning now about the kingdom, this isn't even Kingdom 101. This is introduction to Kingdom 101. Because this whole concept of the kingdom is where revival lives. We have been preparing ourselves for years to get to this point, to where God, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is going to be able to give us a greater revelation of the kingdom. Now, there's been a lot of teaching about the kingdom out there, and some of it's just kind of weird. We're going to be using the Bible as the standard for what we understand about the kingdom. Now, I have a lot of things printed out here today that I need to share with you, and because I've got to keep this in order. See, there are basically two dimensions. Now, this is going to be very, very simplified. There are basically two dimensions. There is the natural dimension, which essentially, you know, three dimensions, okay? You know, length, width, height, and all that. Then there is a kingdom dimension. Now, the kingdom exists in the Spirit. So we could say it like this. The kingdom and the Spirit are a dimension. And then there is the natural dimension in which we currently exist as natural people. Not everything in the spirit realm is of the kingdom. Demons, okay? They're spirits, but they're not of the kingdom. But they are in the spirit realm. Now, there's a lot, and I really have to kind of temper myself here. There are some things that can be taught about this we are not ready to receive. Because it's going to sound so science fiction, some people would want to just throw it out and say, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. We are going to grow, and I don't mean just today, but I mean if we keep pressing in this direction, we are going to grow progressively into the understanding of the kingdom, coming to the place of grasping exactly how Jesus did everything he did. We look at what Jesus, the Bible says that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now we see that and we think, glory to God, all I need is the anointing. Well, sort of. You also need a kingdom understanding. Because Jesus operated by kingdom principle as he was anointed by the Holy Ghost with power. Are you following this? So it's not just the anointing and power. We have to come to a place of understanding how that anointing and power flow and operate in the kingdom. So we have these two dimensions. One is kingdom. Well, one's spirit, but kingdom and our dimension. Now, these dimensions both have laws of physics. We're familiar with laws of physics. You know, what goes up must come down. Very simple. We're familiar with natural laws of physics, but in the kingdom, there is another set of physics. Now, the physics that exist in the kingdom originated with God. That means they have a supernatural point of origin. God, operating by His God-divine power in the realm of the kingdom spirit, decided one day that He wanted to create something that had never been created. So therefore, out of the kingdom, the spirit, He created, using God physics, He created this natural universe. The entire natural universe, going all the way down to the particles that make up the particles that make up the particles which make up the atoms. All of it. But not only that, He also created something we call time. Time had never existed. It does not exist in the kingdom. But it does exist here. Now, we have a blue line up here. The blue line starts right there, and it ends right there. This blue line, just imagine that this room has no walls, no ceiling, no floor. This blue line exists within the structure of the spirit kingdom. It is only what we call years. It is only, now bear with me, okay, this is just generality. It is 7,000 years long, that's it, as we presently know it. So God, in His realm, is able at the same time to see everything that's happening in that full 7,000 year period, even the things that to us have not yet happened. Are you catching on to the science fiction aspect of this? Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Jesus Christ slain from the foundation of the world. It's all in Scripture. So God is watching. That's why He can be everywhere with everybody at the same time. He was with Martin Luther at the same time He's with you next year. Just wait till you go to bed tonight and think about this. Wait a minute. This is where your brains, smoke starts coming out of your ears. This is what I'm talking about. These are concepts our finite minds cannot comprehend. Okay, now, what God wants us to understand is how to bring kingdom principle and law into this natural timeline of ours, so that we can see things happen that people say can't happen. How many of you remember Isaac Newton? You say, oh yeah, he sat in front of me in math class. No. Different Isaac Newton. Okay. See, the kingdom and the natural exist at the same time and theoretically occupy the same space. Natural physics say two objects cannot exist in the same space, occupy the same space at the same time. Kingdom physics says, not so. Now think about this. Here we are in this room, right? Now we see each other, the stuff in the room and all that, but what we don't see are the radio and TV waves flowing through this room. Now, if you were to turn your cell phone back on, see, I know you turned it off before the service started. Everybody starts, wait a minute. If you were to turn your cell phone back on and somebody were to call you, you would receive a signal, right? Phone would ring and you would say, hello. And you could talk to your friend. How's that possible? We don't see any kind of waves coming through here, but they're in here. We are coexisting with those waves, sound waves, at the same time in the same room. Likewise, the things of the kingdom are able to operate and interact with the things of the natural in a way we don't understand. Remember that after Jesus' resurrection, the apostles are in that room, they're eating, and then Jesus, boom, there He is. It's like, well, how'd you get in? The door was closed. He says, guys, let me tell you, things have changed. This is part of what I've been trying to get across to you the whole time I was with you. He eats the fish. Remember the example Gary gave? Jesus passes through the wall but that the fish he ate went with him? I don't get this. Okay, that is kingdom physics changing natural physics to accommodate a kingdom purpose. Right there, that simple little thing, eat fish, go through the wall, body and fish, go. That little thing we read, it's like, okay, that's cool. Next verse. That's an incredible revelation. That's one of those little skip it things, you know, read it and move on. It's like God is saying, wait a second, do you not get this? Kingdom empowered life can alter natural existence. Because you just can't take a mackerel and throw it through a wall. I mean, it doesn't work. They exist in the same time. Technically speaking, they occupy the same space. Technically speaking. All right? So again, a lot of generalities here. Okay, now, the natural that we live in, 3D world, is generally unaware of the kingdom. But the kingdom is constantly aware of the natural. And because of that, even demons see things differently than we do. And they are able to use that to their advantage until we become kingdom-minded. And the more we become kingdom-minded, the more we are going to understand what they are doing and how they operate. We like to say we do, but as long as they keep getting an advantage over us at times, then you know what? We don't understand it the way we should. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Now, Jesus was ministering. Well, actually, he was... Well, you'll see it. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, 'The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" When I was raised in church, we were taught that the gospel was simply, you must be born again. That's all we knew. You know, Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for your sins. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. You got to be born again. That's the gospel. That's not true. That's part of the gospel. But it's not the sum total of the gospel. The sum total of the gospel is revealed in the life of Jesus. In Luke 11:20, and I'll paraphrase this verse, Jesus said something like, if I cast devils out by the finger of God, then you know that the kingdom of God is upon you. Meaning, the kingdom is operating in your realm in a way you've never known or understood before. You're getting a revelation. Something greater is happening. Will you accept it? And so, here we have Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled. Now this, it represents, if you will, two concepts. The time of the law was being fulfilled. Meaning, Jesus was living out the law in front of the people, fulfilling the requirements, etc., and so forth, and dying under the penalty of it. So the time of the law being over, really just the Jews, but being a revelation to all mankind, he says, this time is over. But he's also saying the time of man living void of access to the kingdom is over, is fulfilled. And he says, it's fulfilled in me, through me, by me, so that from this point on, you will have access to the kingdom. And then he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's part of the gospel of the kingdom? Blind eyes open. That's part of the gospel. That is, when you examine the life of Jesus, you see this taking place. It's not just a matter. Do you realize that when Jesus was on earth, nobody got born again? Nobody.
I beg to differ. I know for a fact the apostles were born again.
When?
Well, somewhere in that time. But the apostles...
No, wait a minute. He had to go to the cross first. He had to be raised from the dead. He had to complete that work before anybody could be born again. Nobody was born again while Jesus was on the earth. But after he completed his work, that's when we could get born again. As he's preaching the gospel, what he was doing was giving people a word and an object lesson of what it's like for a human being to flow with the kingdom in this natural world. Now, a moment ago I talked about Isaac Newton. Now, Isaac Newton's first law of motion, simplified, is this. An object at rest or in motion will remain at rest or in motion unless acted upon by an equal or greater outside force. You understand that, right? So if you're not moving, you're not going to move until something moves you. And if you're moving, you're not going to stop until something stops you. Okay, now, here is God's first law of the kingdom. In its Genesis 3 fallen state, those things of the natural dimension are progressively degenerating unless acted upon by the greater force of the kingdom. That is God's first law of the kingdom. Now, I mean, the Holy Spirit didn't say the first law of the kingdom. I made that part up, but I'll read it again. In its Genesis 3 fallen state, meaning everything started falling apart in Genesis chapter 3. In its Genesis 3 fallen state, those things of the natural dimension are progressively degenerating unless acted upon by the greater force of the kingdom. That's how it is. And the proof of that, just read the book of Revelation. New heaven, new earth. Kingdom force is going to act upon it. Everything's the elements themselves. Peter wrote about this. The elements themselves are going to be consumed by a fire. What fire? The fire, the kingdom glory, holy fire. Everything's going to be changed. So what we need to do then is learn how to utilize kingdom force in this natural world. That's what Jesus did. When he said things like, the works that I do, you shall do also. And we say, oh, no, man can't do those works. Jesus said, wait a minute, I am man. Oh, but you're the Son of God. Yeah, but I'm the Son of Man. I'm doing these things as the Son of Man. Do you not understand? I am your object lesson. Watch me. Learn of me. Receive of me. I'm showing you how this works. And then we say, well, you know, praise God, I'm born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, on my way to heaven. Are you righteous? Oh, there's none righteous. No, not one. But the Bible says he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, you know, are you righteous? Oh, no, there's none righteous. Well, are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. But are you righteous? Oh, no, I'm not righteous. We don't understand. Because listen to this. In the kingdom, there is no such thing as unrighteousness. It does not exist in the kingdom. There's no such thing as sickness in the kingdom. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as maimed in the kingdom. There's no such thing as blind in the kingdom. There's no such thing as sin nature in the kingdom. It doesn't exist in the kingdom. But until we come to the place of understanding the kingdom, we walk around singing, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace, I'm just a sinner. And God is saying, no. If you're in the kingdom, you're not just a dirty old rotten sinner. You're my righteousness. There is no sinner people in the kingdom. Does that mean you can't use your free will to commit a sin? That's not what that means. In the kingdom, there is no unrighteousness. There is no unsanctification.
Are you sanctified, brother?
Well, I'm working on it. Well, what about the blood of Jesus? Doesn't it sanctify? Well, I'm working on it. But have you been washed in the blood? Oh, yeah. Are you sanctified? I'm working on it. Then you don't understand that in the kingdom, there's no such thing as unsanctification. Now, look in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah, now Gary has brought this out more than once. We're just continuing where Gary left off yesterday. This is not a different concept here. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, God says, I shall clue you into something. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Oh, God, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know. He says, but I know what you should do because I see the timeline. I know. Oh, God, I just wish I could get healed. As far as I think, you are. Oh, God, I just want to be more righteous. You can't be. As my child. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God's thoughts produce His actions. Our thoughts produce ours. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. We read that and we think, well, isn't that sweet?
God's word will not return void. It will accomplish everything He desires.
Okay, what are we seeing here? God's in the kingdom, right? God says, my word goes forth out of my mouth. What words are these? Kingdom words. That means kingdom words will accomplish the purpose of the kingdom when those words begin entering into the realm of the natural. Well, Brother Martin, that sounds a little far out. Really? Go back and read Genesis 1. And God said, His kingdom thought was... Okay, go back and read that. You're going to see creatures being formed out of the water. Animals being formed out of the dirt. Really? That's in there? Yeah, go back and read it sometime. It's interesting. It's good stuff. The kingdom word, coming from the kingdom boss, went forth out of the kingdom and penetrated into that new creation. And when it did, that creation had no choice but to respond to that word. And when that word said, water, create, produce, release, form, restructure, alter your physics, and become fish. The water said, yes, sir. And water molecules began altering and turned into the fish. The dirt molecules, same thing. If we had been watching that, we'd have seen dirt and all of a sudden, water buffalo. How'd that happen? Oh, did you see that? 1 minute, it was just dirt on the ground. And then all of a sudden, water buffalo. Oh, glory to God. And God's in heaven saying, and? That surprises you? Let me tell you how that happens. My word will not return void. When my word leaves my kingdom mouth from the realm of the kingdom and enters into that world where you live, especially this fallen world where you live, it will alter the Genesis 3 physics of fallenness and produce kingdom physic reality. Amen. You call it healing. I call it life as normal. Now, in this, he says, my word will not return void. Jesus made the statement, well, in fact, look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And take a look here in, let's see. How about this? John chapter 6. Let's go there. John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is, let me again, I'm going to take some liberties here just for the sake of teaching. It is the life of the kingdom that produces life in your world, your fallen world. The natural things of the flesh in that fallen world profiteth nothing, cannot produce the things of the kingdom. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, he said the words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. That means somebody else's words must not be spirit and life. Whose words might that be? Mine. Unless I make his words my words. And when I take his words and make them my words, and I'm born again, then out of my kingdom spirit, I am speaking kingdom words to get kingdom results. It's called faith and confession.
I don't believe in that faith and confession message.
Well, that's too bad, because that's the way it works. Remember, kingdom words, not what I want words. I'm going to have a new Cadillac. I'm going to have two of them. Then I'm going to have a Corvette. Then I'm going to have a big house. Then I'm going to have... God says, you ain't getting nothing. Those aren't kingdom words. My words will produce my will. Now, in Mark chapter 13, just look over there real quickly. Mark chapter 13, verse 31, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Why? They're spirit in their life. Their point of origin is not natural. Their point of origin is the kingdom. I only speak what I hear my Father tell me to say. What I speak to you doesn't come from your realm, but you're hearing it in your realm. And you are using your natural 3D world methods of interpreting my words, and you're seeing or you're conceiving of my words as being 3D natural world relative and point of origin. But that's not that. That's not the way it is. What I'm speaking to you comes from another dimension. But what I've done is, do you realize there are people in the kingdom, they're talking now? I'm not saying that to be funny. I mean, seriously, there are people in the kingdom talking now in the spirit. What do you think is going up in heaven? Going out to worship? It's happening now. Right now. We don't hear it. We could hear it. If God somehow worked it and, you know, made an audio bridge for us to hear this. But there are words going on there now. What Jesus did was take the words that the Father gave to him. They were kingdom words, but he turned around and, using his natural existence, released them out of his kingdom life and spoke them into this natural world, and results took place. Things changed. Remember, the people, when they see all this stuff happen, they say, how is it that God has given this kind of power to a mere man? And Jesus is saying, guys, you see a mere man, and on the outside, that is what I am. But on the inside, there is something totally different. I'm not like you. I'm kingdom life powered person. See, the Bible, this book that we have in our hands, it is a collection of God-birthed, kingdom-based words put in 3D form. You see this? We look at it and we see, you know, ink on paper. It's like, well, what's the big deal? Here's what we don't understand. That, you know, every day people use the word against. Every day people use the word, you know, like leap. Or, I mean, all these different words that we find in Scripture. And it's like, well, okay, those are just words. God says, no, you don't understand. What you're reading is the... for you, the English interpretation of what originated in the kingdom. Now, those words have as their ultimate point of origin me. And I said that my word will not return void. Therefore, these words in front of you in that book, these are kingdom words with kingdom life appointed by me to bring change in your world. As we use them to our advantage, which is why I gave them to us, we begin to see what they have spoken come to pass in our lives. Look at Mark 11:22. In Mark 11:22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." You know, we've turned that into get rich quick, find a wife, find a husband, get rid of a wife, get rid of a husband. We've used this confession thing from a 3D perspective, an earth perspective. But God says, no, this is all about kingdom life. This is about you taking these words of the kingdom and releasing them into the natural, as my son did, as I did in Genesis chapter 1, and seeing the kingdom results. But the belief system has to be established and based upon the kingdom, not the natural world. Look in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7, here's an example of this. Verse 24. "And from thence he," Jesus, "arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know of it, but he could not be hid." In other words, word spread. Jesus is down the street. "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet." The woman, now, over in Matthew, it talks about how they're in this house. Anyway, you can read the version of it in Matthew. We got to keep this short. "The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. She besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Jesus said unto her, Let the children be first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. She answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out of her daughter, laid upon the bed." Now let me help you understand how I saw this between Matthew and this, the way this is written in here. Jesus goes to this guy's house. He's invited Jesus over for a meal. And they're sitting there. Well, I'll get here in the middle. He's sitting there at the table with everybody else. Now, generally speaking, the guest of honor would have sat at the head of the table. So now here's Jesus at the head of the table. Here comes this lady. And you know, they're eating, you know, roast beef, mashed potatoes, pizza. Just, they're eating. And here comes this lady, and she comes to his feet and kneels down before him. He's trying to eat. And she says, "My daughter, devil, she could die. She's afflicted." And right about then, Jesus has a roll in his hand, and he breaks off a piece and he says, "You know, the children need to be fed first, and it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to others until they eat." And as he takes a bite, some crumbs fall to the floor, and she says, "Yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he looks at her and he says, "Wow. That's impressive. Tell you what, you can go on home. The devil is gone from your daughter. Peter, pass me some more pork chops." I mean, roast beef. Are you getting the image?
Yes.
It was no big deal to Jesus. He just says, "Okay, well then, fine. You got it. She's delivered." That's the way it is in the kingdom with kingdom words. He didn't have to say, "Okay, here, let me finish my burger. You know, grab a couple of fries, a shake to go, strawberry shake to go," and wipe his mouth, put his napkin down, and say, "All right, let's go see her. Let's go see her." No, it didn't happen that way. He knew that the way the kingdom works, he is here at this place in the natural universe eating. The daughter is over in this place, tormented by the devil, but he knows that kingdom words spoken here don't know distance will impact over here. So he sits here and says, "I don't have to go. Besides, I'm kind of hungry. I don't want to go. I want to finish my peas and corn." Okay, she's delivered. And the lady goes home and says, "Well, Shazam, she's healed. She's delivered." In our minds, we're thinking, "How'd he do that? Well, how did that? He was there. Daughter's here. Oh. He's Jesus. That's how he did that. What about the works that I do, you shall do also? Sit down, eat your meal, speak kingdom words of healing, and somebody 500 miles away can receive the manifestation of their healing."
That is how the kingdom works.
But we have to understand this. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, the pizza will wait. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see here. That's in the New Testament, isn't it? Glory to God. Verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or qualified to be partakers, participants with the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Here's the deal. We're lost. We're going to hell. Bound up by the power of darkness. Not bound up by the devil, but by the power of darkness. Sin nature. And God says, okay, you put your faith in my Son. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a hold of you and translate you out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of my dear Son. Now, the moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, in the natural world, we were right here the whole time. We didn't necessarily feel anything when we accepted Jesus as our Savior. But spiritually, we were translated into the kingdom of God's dear... We moved. But we didn't feel a thing. We were translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That means we now have, as a base of operation, a different dimension. We exist naturally in the 3D world, but we have a dimensional existence in the kingdom. Now look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And look here in verse 23. Jesus is talking. He says, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And we read this and we think, oh yes, Jesus. I'm sure people when they heard that were thinking, who is this guy? He's from above, he's not from this world. That's because he was so kingdom conscious. He understood, I'm in a body in this natural world, but I'm not of this natural world. I am operating out of a dimension you cannot see. I am operating out of the kingdom dimension and bringing about change in the natural dimension. I'm not of this world. I'm not speaking to you from my flesh perspective. I'm speaking to you out of my eternal how I'm going to exist perspective. I'm not of this world. But that, he didn't stop there. Look in John chapter 18. In John chapter 18, look in verse 36. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. What that means is when we begin to operate by kingdom principles, we cannot focus exclusively on this world principles. We have to focus on the kingdom principles. Because it's the kingdom principles that bring about the change in the natural world. It's the kingdom physics which will alter the natural physics. It is the kingdom law which will alter natural law. Look at another place, John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, look what Jesus said in verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So everything that Jesus did, it was done from the not of this world vantage point. Then he turns right around and he says, okay, those who accept me as Lord and Savior, they are not of this world in the same way, the same way, the same exact way. They are not of this world as I am not of this world. That means they have the ability to operate in the natural world according to kingdom principles the way that I have the ability to operate in this natural world by kingdom principles. That is why if they will get a hold of this and begin speaking kingdom words, they will get kingdom results in the natural world. It will change everything. Well, in Luke chapter 8,
In Luke chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him." He went about preaching and showing. I will not just tell you, I will show you. See, when we see these things happen, we get so excited. And again, it's okay to praise and worship and you know, just give God the glory and when people get healed and delivered. But when we act like, wow, now listen, that is supernatural. In this world, yeah, but in the kingdom, it's natural. We're trying to bring the natural of the kingdom into the natural of this world and create change, which is revival. If we went into a place where they work on cars, and there's a mechanic there, and he takes a screwdriver, and he goes over to the screw, and he starts turning it, and the screw is getting loose, and he jumps back and says, "Whoa, whoa, did you see that? The screwdriver actually loosened the screw. Did you see that? It worked! It worked! Oh, 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 I got to call my prayer partners and tell them it worked." And all the other mechanics, "Did we have to hire this guy? Who is this? Of course it works. That's what screwdrivers were designed to do. Loosen and tighten screws. You are the one with the screw loose. And we don't have a screwdriver for that one." We would think that's the weirdest mechanic I've ever met in my life. When we act like that, when kingdom principles are manifest in this natural world, God's saying, "But that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to use the kingdom screwdrivers and staple guns and glue. And that's what you're supposed to do. That's life. That's normal life in the kingdom." Well, here in the Word. Look, here he says in verse 1, Jesus was demonstrating, preaching, showing the kingdom. Now in verse 10, he says, "Unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." Unto you, who? Well, simply put, those of us who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're now in the kingdom. It is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. What that means is, up until now, or up until this point where he's speaking this, nobody could know the mysteries of the kingdom. It was impossible for them to know them. They could maybe see parts of it, but they couldn't know, as in comprehend, understand, realize, live by, operate by. It is given to you to know these things. It's given to you to comprehend and understand these things. Look in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13, Jesus was talking to the disciples. He says, "Whom do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man, am. I, the Son of Man. I, the Son of Man. I, the human being you see before you. Who do they say I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, and others, you know, one of the prophets." He said, "Okay, yeah, that's great, but whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now Jesus right there is telling you, this kingdom truth that you now understand was not revealed to you from three-dimensional world concepts. It was revealed to you by my Father who lives in the kingdom and has somehow gotten this information across to you. "And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not upon Peter, "upon this rock," what rock? The rock of revelation that we receive from the Father. You see this? "Upon this rock I will build my church." Let's say it like this. "Upon this rock of the revelation of the kingdom, I will release revival. And the gates or the powers of hell shall not be successful to prevail or stop it from happening." Can't stop it.
See, in the kingdom, Satan can't do anything. He simply can't. Because he has no power, authority, any rights, whatever you want to call it. And he says, okay, now when you start operating by this revelation, knowledge, and understanding and comprehension, then you're going to be able to help usher in revival. And when you do that, when it begins happening, Satan can't stop it. He can't. The gates of hell cannot prevent this from happening. Could Satan stop Jesus? No. In fact, Jesus said, hey, let me fill you in. No man takes my life from me. When it's time, I'll relinquish it. I'll go along with your plans. But until then, I'm on a mission from God, a kingdom mission. And you're not going to stop me. Now, Matthew 16, I'm sorry. Wait, we just read Matthew 16. Okay. Romans chapter 12. Paul is writing and he says, I am begging you, I am pleading with you. I'm doing everything I can to get this across to you. Please present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's a reasonable thing for you to do. And be not conformed to this natural world. It literally means do not remain mentally conformed to this natural world's way of thinking, analyzing, and processing information. However, be transformed, changed by the renewing of your mind. You've been born again. Your spirit's already been born again. But now we've got to renew your way of thinking. We've got to change the way you think now that you're not of this world. Stop thinking like this world and start thinking like a kingdom citizen. When you do, you start seeing the kingdom results. Now, I'm supposed to renew my mind. Now, I'm going to give... Here's the thing. The Bible's been given to us. And we know that the Holy Spirit plays a role in this in helping us understand the Word of God. We'll touch on that a little bit here in just a moment. The Word, the Bible, the words in the Bible that, sower sows the Word, right? Now, I don't know what it says on your Bible, but the book that you use to sow this word into your life, giving the Holy Spirit something to work with, is more critical than you can possibly imagine. The Bible talks about in Isaiah 28, God teaches us line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Here a little, there a little. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That means from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture works together and is profitable for our development. Relative to this teaching today, all Scripture works together to give us a revelation of the kingdom, how it works and how it operates. However, not everything that man calls Scripture works together to do this. Now, I'm going to give you one example. Turn over to Proverbs. Now, this is very important. This is a kingdom issue right here. In Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Now, in this verse, verse 28, here's what it says. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now, I want to make sure you're seeing this in your Bible. Very important you see these words. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. How many of you know that you don't become righteous until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I mean, we understand it, right? He says, the righteous shall flourish as a branch. Now, this, you see the word branch there. It comes from a Hebrew word, aleh. I think that's how it's pronounced. Aleh. Now, it can be, in the Hebrew, it can be translated as the word leaf. In many translations, it is translated as the word leaf. Now you think, well, okay, whoopee-doo. I mean, what's the big deal? I mean, leaf, who cares? What of it? Would you like to know why the word leaf is wrong and an incorrect translation? I'll show you.
Turn over to John 15. John chapter 15. And in John chapter 15, we're going to begin reading in verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the what?
Branches.
Branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, or flourisheth. For without me, ye can do nothing. You see, what we fail to understand is that in the kingdom, everything from Genesis to Revelation is tied together in one complete story and image. If you go to Proverbs chapter 11 and you change that word from branch to leaf, what you have done is broken the continuity of this word that draws a prophetic connection from Proverbs to John, because the righteous shall flourish like a branch. How am I going to do that? If you are a branch connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, you will flourish in the kingdom and bring forth fruit. It's connected. If I had a Bible that said leaf after coming to that revelation, I would misplace that Bible permanently. And I would go by the King James. Now, to help you out, I found so far 26 versions of the Bible that do not use the word branch. Let's see if I can step on your toes. The Bible in Basic English Version, the Common English Bible, the Complete Jewish Bible, the Douay Rheims Bible, the English Standard Version, the Holman Christian Standard, the Lexham English Bible, the New Living Translation, the Darby Translation, the Word English Bible, the Wycliffe, the Young's Literal Translation, God's Word Translation, the New Century Version, Good News Translation, the American Standard Version, the New American Standard, Today's New International Version, New International Reader's Version, New International Version, New King James Version, Revised Standard Version, New Revised Version, The Message, The Message, and everybody's favorite, the Hebrew Names Version. 26 so far I found versions of the Bible, change it and use the word, another word other than branch. But if you change that word branch into something else, you miss the connection. The righteous shall flourish like a branch. I am the vine, you are the branches. This is how you flourish. This is how you flourish. This is why, you know, some people say, well, you know, I like my version. Have at it. But if the continuity is broken, how do you get the sum total of the message that's being presented? How? I realize, you know, the Greek and the Hebrew, you know, but how many of us read the Greek and the Hebrew on a regular basis? Come on. This may seem like a minor issue, but it's not. I had a sermon not too long ago, the power of a single word. Right here we've seen the power of a single word. Oh, I'm a leaf. God says, no, I don't think you get it. That word was supposed to be branch, because I connect to it later in John through my son. Now, look in John chapter 16. And we will be done soon. John chapter 16. Jesus said in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. Now the Holy Spirit has been given to us to teach us all things. Guide us into all truth. Over in John chapter 14. Teach us all things, show us all things, guide us into all truth. This is His responsibility. Now let this sink in. If we do not have an involvement with the Holy Spirit, this cannot be done. I hope you see that. It cannot be done if we do not have the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or 2, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And beginning in verse 12. It says, now we've received this, not the spirit of the world, but not the spirit of this fallen world. Not this 3D world. Okay, but the Spirit, which is of God, it is a kingdom spirit, kingdom life, God life. It is from His realm, that dimension. that we might come to the place of knowing, comprehending, fully grasping, being able to explain the things that are freely given to us of God, the kingdom principles, the kingdom truth, which things also we are teaching you. However, these things were not taught to us in the words which man's natural wisdom produces, but we are teaching these things to you as a result of having received that teaching from the Holy Spirit through the words that He uses to teach, comparing the spiritual things of who I am with the spiritual things of the kingdom of God. So I come to the place of understanding how to operate by the kingdom in this natural fallen world. And then he turns around and continues and says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. If I'm not born again with that spirit, there's no way I can ever understand these things. But it's even worse when I do have a spirit that can understand those things, but I keep relying on somebody to give me all the Greek and the Hebrew definitions of everything in Scripture, and I completely blow the message that God's trying to get across by looking at a leaf instead of seeing myself as a branch grafted into the vine of God's eternal Son. The Holy Spirit is never going to give you a leaf in exchange for a branch. You understand that imagery. And he says, but he that is spiritual, meaning when I focus on that, my kingdom life, my kingdom spirit, you know, when he that is spiritual judges all things, meaning I have the ability to comprehend, judge, discern, determine, etc., grasp the difference between kingdom principle and natural principle, yet he himself is judged of no man, meaning nobody in this natural world is going to be able to judge me and say, oh, but those things of the, you're wrong about those things of the kingdom, let me correct you. No, my correction comes from God, from the realm of the Spirit, from the realm of the kingdom, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, we sure have tried, haven't we?
Healing is not for today, hallelujah.
Oh, yes, it is. You can't instruct God. He says, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have a mind that now is capable of understanding these things. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we'll close with this verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When I'm praying in tongues, and then he goes on and talk about that all these things that we pray, we're praying according to the will of God and all. They all work together to bring about the manifestation in this world of the will of God. Listen, even though I'm first born again, I still don't understand the things of the kingdom. I don't. That's why I can have somebody come and tell me healing's not for today. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, makes sense to me. Healing's not for today. Why, if it were, I'd be healed. Because God loves me more than you. The gifts of the Spirit are not for today. How do you know? Well, because they're not manifesting in our church. I mean, we're the real church, you know. And if they were going to manifest to be for today, why, we'd have them here. They're not for today. Died out with the apostles. Ceased here, ceased there. All these crazy things, and we just buy into it. The reason is because we're operating by a 3D world that is fallen. In the kingdom, the gifts operate. The power flows. This is revival. See, this kingdom mindset helps us understand we don't have to stay on the timeline of natural eternity, though we are existing in this timeline. We, in our spirits, are able to bridge the things from the kingdom into the natural, the way Jesus did. And it becomes normal to us. Abnormal would be it not happening. Can you imagine Jesus? He's trying to minister healing somebody and they don't get healed. And he says, well, why'd that happen? I don't get it. They're supposed to be healed. But that never happened. Everybody that went to him got healed. No matter what it was, everybody that went to him got healed. Why? Because he was operating by kingdom principles, kingdom anointing, kingdom power. Everything he did was based upon the kingdom. And he says, I'm here to show you the kingdom. I'm here to demonstrate to you the kingdom. I'm here to help you understand. Watch me, read about me, observe me, and you're going to know what it's like for a flesh body in this natural world that is filled with kingdom life and kingdom anointing operating.
You can change the things of the natural fallen world with kingdom principles. That is revival. Praise God. Go ahead and stand. We're just stone skipping. If you will take this, honestly, guys, if you'll take this, what all these things Gary's been teaching, what I've been sharing today, take this and just pray in tongues over it. Yes. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you these things in Scripture to help you understand it. Because this is a part of moving over into operating in a way that defies the religious mind. And not only that, but we're conforming to the image of Christ, to that glory. We're doing the works of Jesus. We're becoming everything that God wants us to become. Praise God. Man. And this is just the beginning. This is just the introduction to these kingdom concepts. Jesus said it's given unto us to know the keys. The keys to the kingdom unlock the principles of operation in the kingdom and enable us to operate by the kingdom in this world. He says, I'll give to you these keys. I will give them to you. Means we don't have them until we receive them from Him. Praise God. Glory to God. I want to know more about this. Hallelujah. Jesus, praise your name.